How many of you enjoyed that extra hour of sleep? How many just pittered it away? Okay. I enjoyed my extra hour. It was very good. Men camped down Friday night and yesterday, and ladies had their ladies' night out last night over here. Great weekend. Also, want to put a plug in, say another thing about the baseball camp. Please, we've got somewhere about 68, 70 kids registered. We'd like to have more than that. And this week, the last week, we always get more registered. So still some flyers out front. Take those with you. We want to get kids registered for the baseball camp. I mean, last year, we had 26, almost 30 kids made first-time profession of faith in Christ last year through baseball camp. So that's not to say that we're counting on a number every year, but how many kids that receive Jesus would be enough? Yeah, to know that Jesus said his heart is he left the 99 to go after the one. But so be praying about all that. And please, if you can help and you say, but I don't know anything about baseball. Well, all you have to be is an obedient spirit. And we'll give you a job over there. And because we're going to need, it's like herding cats over there. All those kids moving around. It's a wonderful thing. And if you just want to hang out, you know, a lot of the parents will come and will sit up in the stands. And somebody needs to be going up there meeting those parents. You know, I'd love to be up there smoozing with the parents, you know, and getting to know them. But you know, we have responsibilities down the field with kids. So it's a wonderful thing. And also remind you, every Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, they're feeding homeless at the at Forsyth Park. So if you want to go out and any Sunday afternoon, go help. They can use your help. It's on the south end of Forsyth. 21st is going to be a big day. That's going to be the Thanksgiving day. Which, by the way, and just let me tell you what's coming up, but what we've got coming up. Baseball camp, of course, next weekend. 22nd, which is the week of Thanksgiving, that Monday night, we're going to have our Thanksgiving service here. And we're going to park a trailer out front. And one of my desires is to fill that, it's a little white trailer over there. I want to fill it up with food. I want to fill it up with food. You got the idea? Not with beets and spinach that was 5 years old in the can that's out of date. We're going to give you a list of things that would be great things for people to eat, because all of the places where food is going to people right now are down on that, and they need more food right now. So we're going to do that then. Sunday after Thanksgiving is first Sunday of Advent. We'll begin our celebration of Advent season, celebrating the first coming of Jesus. The 9th and 10th of December, right out front, Faith, the animals are coming. Remember you asked me about the animals. It's our live nativity. Be a great time. A lot of people will come by from the neighborhood. We need your help in that. We need warm bodies to do a multitude of things that'll from helping serve the food to being part of the cast in that. The Sunday, let's see, what is that? Give me the Sundays in December. What are their dates? Fifth? 12th? Okay. The 19th, our children are going, that's going to be our Christmas program for children. It's going to be a great thing. We're looking forward to that. So, and Candles and Carols service on the 24th here at 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve, our Christmas Eve service. Candles, carols, and communion. So a lot of things. Now hear me on this. I'm going to plug this again at the end today. There are a lot of people. People have lost jobs. The economy is struggling right now. There are a lot of things going on. A lot of hurting people. People need Jesus today. Now they need you. And they need people in their lives who care. Who care about them. And who care enough to invest themselves in their lives. That's who we are as a church. That's who we are as a body. That's why God has planted us here as a meeting place on Sundays in this place. So, let's take this opportunity to make the most of all the juice that we're going to have out of these holidays. To ride that and reach as many people as possible with the gospel. Now, you understand all that? If you don't, see Dane afterwards and he'll explain what I said today. He's a great interpreter of Dusty. Now, that's thank you, Ms. B. You'll be getting a letter today. We had some glitches with the letter on my part, but you'll be getting a letter today. So make sure you get that check email tonight. The storm went by Haiti. But it's kind of on the back side of it. So if you saw the pictures, you saw that the water was very deep in Port-au-Prince. They did not need more water in Port-au-Prince. That's going to make the cholera more difficult. We're getting various numbers as to the true numbers of people that have actually died in that. The official numbers are not accurate. A lot more people have died with cholera. We talked with Pastor Pierre down there who's up in St. Mark. He's trying to feed, to take care of as many people as possible. Just out of his church, there are 10 people that were members of his church that died. 20 people that he knew personally that have died with cholera. So I want you to consider that need there, and we're trying to we sent some money down there, the money that we got last Sunday, we sent that down there this week, and we want to send some more, so they can, they're suffering people. And he's sharing the gospel with everyone. They're getting that cup of rice in Jesus' name. Okay, John. We live in a culture that is characterized by a lot of self-centeredness, don't we? You agree on that? What is the main question that a lot of people in our culture seem to want to ask before they get involved in anything? There you go. What's in it for me? Or some version, some morphed version of that question. What's in it for me? There's a strong belief by a number of people and a majority of people in our culture that it is all about me. British actor Michael Wilding was once asked if actors had any particular traits that singled them out as human beings. Here was his response. He said, "Without a doubt, you can pick out actors by the glazed look that comes upon their eyes when the conversation wanders away from themselves." That hits pretty close to home, doesn't it? Even in the church, in fact, in the last 2 years, has been exposed to consumerism that is off the charts. And in fact, many people make a decision about what church they're going to be a part of based on how well they can be served by being a part of that church. And in fact, y'all know one phrase that I deplore it, I abhor it. I think it's a phrase that needs to go out of our language, and it is this phrase: I'm shopping for a church. What has that got to do with where God wants you and what God wants you to be doing? Now, if you're checking out churches today and you're here, let me assure you, we're not a consumer-driven church, nor are we going to become one. A lady made this statement about her husband at a dinner party one time. I love this quote. She said, "My husband and I have managed to be happy together for 20 years of marriage. I guess it's because both of us are in love with the same man." It's not our desire as the body of Christ to cooperate in our culture with some baptized form of Christian consumerism. If we have a true life-changing experience with Jesus, then He will radically change our lives and make us into new people. And we will put on the mind of Christ. And we will begin to serve others as bond servants. Literally, that word doulos that is used for serving in the New Testament means bondservant. We are bound to Him. Now, hence this sermon today. Who am I? When God runs His barcode detector across you, and He gets all of your little lines, and it comes up on His screen, who does He see you as? Consumer or producer? Who are you? First point. All of us are consumers. Psalm 89:11 says, "The heavens are yours, the earth is yours, everything in the world is yours. You created it all." And who is placed on this earth to enjoy that? Us. He has given us the universe. And He has given us dominion over it. Go back and read in Genesis and see the dominion that we have because we're His creation. We're the crown of His creation. He has given all of it to us to be stewards of it. So in this way, we are consumers. But we also consume other people's time, energy, resources. Truly, no man, no woman is an island. Others help us with everything that we do. We're here today because other people have been used in our lives as we have consumed what they have given to us, right? This whole thing of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps? Did you do it by yourself? Who poured into you? Who got you here? I love that statement that a mom made to her child. I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. Secondly, a baby. Look at the picture of a baby. Here's a picture of the ultimate consumer, right? 1 Peter 2:2 says this, "You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries out for its milk." When we first come to Christ, we are babes in Him, right? We need the milk. It doesn't matter how old we are chronologically, we're still babies. And we need to grow. We need to grow up in Him. Just as a newborn needs nourishment and care 24/7, so we do. We need that spiritually. A baby is the ultimate consumer. You can't just bring a child home, as I've said many times, from the hospital, throw him out on the carport and say, "Well, we got you here. Now you take it from this point." But how often as Christians do we do that with newborn babes in Christ? They need to be raised up. A baby's got to be cared for daily. But you know what? If that baby's 16 years old and you're still cramming a baby bottle in his mouth, something's wrong, right? And John, I'll go ahead and say it. John's waiting on this. And if you have to push the whiskers back to push the baby bottle in his mouth, it's really bad, isn't it? You see, God did not create that baby to be a consumer the rest of his life, did He? It's time to grow up. Number three, God wants more for us and from us. Now, did you get the difference between the two? For us and from us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Now, remember what 2:10 follows up? 8 and 9, right? "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God," that great salvation peace. And as we talked about in our Colossians study a few weeks ago, that, you know, here Paul gets works on the right side of salvation. The works come after the salvation. But it's an expectation. It is an expected response on his part to what he has done in our lives. He then says, "We are God's masterpiece." Another translation says, "We are His workmanship. We've been crafted by God. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that He planned for us long ago." Now let's get the economy of this. That means that God already has a plan set in place. Now let me ask you, does God have the ability to execute a plan? Is any plan He can't execute? Not one. In fact, so much so that the Scripture says He spoke this world into existence. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? He wants to speak into existence His plan for your life. All the good things He has in store for you. His plan is that we grow up in Him. His plan is that we not just survive and get by in Him, but that we thrive. He's got a beautiful picture for every one of us. Now I want to ask you, some of you moms particularly, moms of more than one child, Are your children different than one another? In fact, how many times have you said, how could these children be so different? I know who the mama and who the daddy are. How could they be so different? God made them that way. God made us different. Different gifts and graces. And He has a different plan. He wants all of us to become producers in His kingdom with His power according to His plan. But we're missing the boat. And in fact, that's what that word for sin, that word, that hamartia word for sin, there are different words for sin in the New Testament. But one word, it means to miss the mark. Now hear me on this. We've got a screwy theology about sin. It's all about works in our mind. We think, well, God's just waiting for me to step out of line so He can burn me, right? So He can shoot me down. That's not His idea. He doesn't want us to step into those things because He wants to protect us. And He has a plan for our life. You imagine your children. Think of the hopes and dreams you have for your children. And you want them to pursue those things with all their heart. And you know their heart. And you know their gifts and graces. And then when you see them missing the mark and not fulfilling what God has called them to be, what does it do to you? It breaks your heart, doesn't it? You see, God has more for us than we can imagine. He doesn't want us to stay at the baby stage the rest of our lives. Number four, a producer. Are y'all following me? Does this make sense? Hope that extra hour of sleep helped you. A producer realizes that he's a partner with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we work together as partners who belong to God. You are God's field, God's building, not yours. To whom do you belong? We've got to realize we're in partnership with God Himself. Paul said in this passage we just read, we're God's field, God's building. We belong to God. God made us so that He could bless us and use us. Now get this. Even in the way He uses us, it becomes what? A blessing. When you see a person fitting into the plan of God and thriving in that, and I mean, they might be in a hellhole for all you know, but they're thriving in doing the will and purpose of God, and God is doing wonderful things for them. You can't help but stand up and shout and jump up and down for joy. We want to see it for our children. God wants to see it for us. So what is God's purpose on this earth with which we're going to partner with Him? If we're His fields and His buildings, then what is God growing in the field and what is God building? This is simple. He wants everybody to come into a relationship with Him. Everybody. Even the people that we've marked off as unsavable. Any in your life like that? Any that you've said, God, it'll take a lightning bolt to get their attention. And you've probably prayed for those. Don't look at me like you haven't done that before. Not only does He want us to have a relationship, everybody to have a relationship with Him, He wants them all to grow up to grow in Him, to thrive in Him. Not like my pitiful tomato plants on the back porch this year. They were hideous. In fact, I've got one. I'm going to use it as a sermon illustration. It's that big. It's been starved to death. We've got to realize that we're in partnership with a guy who knows his business and who is absolutely committed to seeing his business thrive. And in fact, has shown us in the past that his business will thrive no matter what man decides to do, no matter what governments decide to do, no matter what economies decide to do, that he's going to thrive in his business, and at last he's going to bring his business to this earth completely in complete fulfillment as we look forward to the second coming of Jesus. When he comes, he's going to put it all right. Even the creation. He's going to put everything. He is going to restore everything that sin has taken away, that destruction has taken away, that disobedience has taken away, that Satan and all of his angels have taken away. He's going to put it all together. Because he's God and he knows his business. And the partner we have, he's not silent, is he? He can get in a language that you can understand, can't he? Imagine for a moment if Donald Trump called you up today. I don't have a good Donald Trump voice. And said, I want you to be a part of my next deal. It's a slam dunk. I've got a lock on it. You have been in that trade before, know what I'm talking about. I've got a lock on it, and there'll be required no cash outlay on your part. How could you lose? But he says to you, but you've got to be totally committed to it. Now don't go home and sit by the phone and wait for Donald to call. But let me tell you, somebody that's calling right now who's never lost a deal, and he's calling you. And he's calling me. And he's inviting us to be his partners. Let me tell you, our economy woes, our stuff that's going on in this country right now and in the world right now, they're no problem for God, are they? Let me tell you, and even in the middle of all that junk that's going on, he can bless whoever he wants to bless, whenever and however he wants to do it. Number five, a producer sees the need. Matthew 9:36 says this, he felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Let me ask you, is that a good description of people in our world today? Is that a good description of people where you live, where you pursue your business today? Like sheep without a shepherd? How many times have you come home and said, man, I don't understand these people? And the next statement you could have plugged in there, they're like sheep without a shepherd. There's no driving force that controls their lives other than themselves. And they change their mind every day about that. And in fact, if you put down what they said today, they'd disagree with themselves violently tomorrow. Because it's not about the truth of anything. It comes back to being, it's about me.
And that kind of life is a hellhole.
People all around us are hurting today. Have great needs today. If you're going to be a producer in the kingdom of God, you got to be able to see the field around you. And that means you've got to get off of your navel-gazing Christianity and look unto the fields that are white unto harvest today. This is the greatest opportunity in the history of mankind for the gospel to go out. And we've got to get our minds and hearts off of ourselves just long enough to see it. Number six, producers motivated by love. 1 John 3:18, dear children, let's stop just saying, oh boy, does this hurt? Let us stop just saying that we love each other, and let's really show it by our actions. What forced Jesus out of heaven on the greatest rescue mission in the history of mankind? Love. Motivated, led by, driven by His love. That's why the gospel in a nutshell says, for God so loved. And who is the world? Us. We are. We heard it sung a few years ago. We are the world. Look around us. We've got to be motivated. How do you get this love for people? It comes only by opening your heart and letting Jesus love them through you. I know some of you think, I don't have the capacity. No, you don't. But Jesus does. But they've hurt me. They're past things. You don't know the score. Jesus knew the score, didn't He? When He went to the cross and He died in our place. For all sin, past, present, and future. And when a person experiences Christ in their life, what happens? God puts that love, implants that love in there. Let me tell you, that's what, as I talk to people on the front lines who are sharing the gospel, with Muslims all over the world. You know the one thing that the Muslim cannot wrap his mind around? Love. Love. It cuts through the love of Christ. Finally, a producer is going to seize the day. It's the true carpe diem. Ephesians 5:15-17. So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Let me stop right there. How easy is it to just join in to do evil in the evil days? Oh, the crowd's going this way. I'll just move with them. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. It's time to practice that carpe diem. Seize the day. It's time to start making the most of where God has planted you. Instead of whining, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be at this or that. Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe, just maybe, God's got you right where He wants you.
that He will use you where you are as His bully pulpit to speak the love and the care of Jesus. I know it's discouraging to look around you and see so many problems. But Jesus is in the miracle-working business. And He will bring His power to bear if we'll let Him live out His life through the power of the Holy Spirit through our lives and get off being the consumer in this consumerism in the church and in the body of Christ that is not honored by God, that the Holy Spirit is not going to bless, that we can mimic and make the church look like it's successful. But at the end of the day, what is going to stand? Only that which has the hand of Jesus upon it. And consumerism does not have the hand of Jesus on it. I don't care how many people or how many books, tapes, outlines, DVDs that are out there that are promoting some baptized version of consumerism. It is wrong. It is hellish. It is leading people to destruction. It's not what God has desired for His church today. So, here's a plan. You talked about the idea, Dusty. Well, give me a plan. First of all, realize whose you are. Do you belong to Jesus? First question. Do you have Jesus in your life as Lord and Savior of your life? You know that you know that you know that Jesus lives in you. Make sure of that. If you haven't done it, today is a great day to begin a new life in Christ. Secondly, begin letting Him speak to you daily in prayer and through His Word. And when you pray, shut up long enough and let Him talk. Listen, what might the Spirit want to say to you? Realize today that He's put you in a family. That's what the church is. It's the body of Jesus. It is the literal, physical body of Jesus on this earth. Are you making the most of the family God's planted you in or not? Are you taking for granted the family He's put you in? It's time to act. Don't sit back and wait for a better day. Seize the day. Today. Make the most of today. Realize that you're in a church family. Are you growing? I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. Are you continuing just to be a consumer? Who's going to reach those people? How about all the people that are in your life today? They need Jesus. And whether they... I'm not talking about let's get them into this local body. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about get them into the kingdom of God and let Him show them where they need to be as far as the local body. Are you in a life group? You serving Him in that? Because this is a large group expression. You need a small group expression. What's your job in your life group? Are you a consumer there? What's God called you to be? Are you faithful in being part of the body when we gather together, both in our life groups and on Sunday? Why is that important? Because when you're missing, part of the family's not there. Right? When you go to a family reunion, how many of the people you want to see? How many of them?
All of them.
All of them. Well, maybe except for old. No, we want to see him too. Because he makes life interesting. How about your job? How about where you live? Do the people know that you belong to Jesus? Are you integrating into their lives and showing them Jesus? You see,
That's one of the things. One of the things about that our theology of church is not just get you so busy over at a building that you don't have time to spend with anybody else in your life. That's not church. That's a cult. He's changed us so He can throw us back out into the world and be salt and light. That's why we'll never have another church softball team. You know why? There are plenty of softball teams. You don't need to go and be salt and light on a softball team that, I mean, is hell-bound. And maybe you can turn the ship around. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you get it? All sorts of needs all around you. There's needs when we gather. There's needs when we scatter. Are you praying for people? Are you praying for them on a daily basis? And we say, I'll pray for you. Why not just stop and pray for them right then? Happened to you twice last week, right? Somebody just stopped and prayed. How much did that mean to you, Darren? So much so that he shared it with me this morning. They need your voice, your life. Savannah is depending on us. Do y'all realize that? The homeless people in Savannah are dependent on us. The people that have more money than they can spend in this lifetime are dependent on us. Everybody. The up and outs, the in and outs, the over and outs, all of them. The crazies need us. Because some of us are, right? We can speak their language. Right? And sometimes they just need somebody speaking it in their language that looks like them and acts like them. Do you get it? Consumer or producer? Where are you going to be? You decide. I'm through preaching. Let's pray. Lord, as we open the altar today, I ask you to come. Lord, we don't want you to bless what we're doing. We want to join you and do what you're blessing. We're asking you for your power and strength today to fall upon us. Lord, we sang it a moment ago, revive us. Change us, Lord. Make us into the people you've called us to be. Lord, I'm praying for all the little children in this town right now that are waking up. And they're waking up in homes where nobody's sharing the good news of Jesus with them. Lord, we pray for them that somehow they will hear. But the greatest place where they could hear is if mom and daddy were changed by Jesus. So we're asking you to do that. We're asking you to do a wonderful work. And Lord, as we lay out ourselves before you, God, I'm asking you to just delete all the consumerism that controls our lives. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
His name, He is mighty to save this.
Jesus.
This is the one we have waited for. is our God. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for. This is the one we have waited for.
Spoken to you today. So what you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? As we'll send you out today, you know, we are apostolic in that realm. We believe God sent us and we're to send one another out in His power. So I pray that for us today. Lord, send us out today. In Your power, baptized in Your love, to a hurting world that is headed for destruction without the life-changing Jesus. I'm asking You, God, may we be Your distribution point as we are producers, as we come in agreement as Your partners today. Partners in the gospel of Jesus. Take us out now, Lord. Amen.